Erev Tov, everyone. We continue. We're still in section one, Perek Samach Tes. What I want you to look at on the English is we'll first start on the side without the pictures. Without, there's two sides. One side has
pictures.
Well, I understand.
Forget that.
So the first thing over here, this is one we've had before, but it bears repeating because it's these are ideas. I don't know about your memories, but mine isn't so good. So to understand the difference between essence and existence, which we have to constantly review this idea, and this is from the this is from Ibn Sina's teachings, the earlier Muslim teachers that the Rambam learned from. So he says, so the analysis of being reveals two meanings of existence. The first affirms or establishes the existence of something. In other words, something now exists. It actually exists, and that's what we're calling existence. The second expresses, without affirming its existence, the reality by virtue of which something is what it is, namely its essence. Remember, we talked about Yossi Michalowicz. Okay, you could think about a Yossi Michalowicz, what type of personality is and all that, even if he didn't come into the world, right? And that's the essence.
Conceptualizing.
Yeah. That's the essence. Yeah. But now, when I'm born and I'm here and I live, that's my existence. Mm-hmm. So one is something that's like happened, mm-hmm. and one is the other one is no less viable, and that's really the essence, even without it coming. The first is what Avicenna calls the existence related to the fact that something is established. It's happened. The second identifies the particular or proper existence of the thing. As regards the latter, one is either not required to know whether the thing is or not existent, or else one ignores the whole question. It doesn't have to exist. The concept exists, so that's the essence. In the first sense, then, the existent or existing thing stands for what is established or realized and affirms that something exists. In the second sense, which is expressed by proper existence, what is referred to as the reality, nature, essence, or current Avicenna's technical terminology, quiddity or thingness of the thing. Here no existential judgment is implied. One does not know if the thing exists. What is expressed is an intentional note independent of its existence, which necessarily accompanies it. So therefore, what we have is, so in terms of Hashem, while God is the ultimate cause of all reality, but reality has always existed within God, even before it came into creation. That's the important point we need to know. The item always existed even before it came into existence. That's an important thing. Why? Because now you don't have anything changing, anything new, anything that forced God to do something, so to speak. So that's why when we're dealing with Hashem, he has created the essence of things and their existence can come or not, but its essence is always there. Mm-hmm. So the donkey that talked, the mm-hmm. essence was always there. When it will come into existence is another time. Mm-hmm. Now, does that mean there was any change that happened? Well, depending on what you believe. If you believe that God created something brand new,
yes.
Well, now you got a problem. Mm-hmm. Because then what happened? There was something that didn't exist, and now God comes into seeing something new that didn't happen. So that's why these terms, so which term do we use? So it could be that many just understood, well, when something exists, okay, it now has come into existence, and that God brings things into existence. So now that, some could say that's what he does. But according to Rama, you can't say that.
No, you cannot.
Because now, if Hashem creates something, it means it didn't exist before. And how could something not exist before? Unless you have to say that if it had to exist when Hashem existed.
Yes.
Right? But then that's saying something else besides Hashem was in the beginning. Right? So then you're going to say the world always exists. That's pantheism.
Can you say it's an extension of who and what he is?
Well, so that's what we're calling it is the essence.
Right.
That is the essence. So that's the jargon. Okay.
So, anything that ever happens has always existed before.
It exists. It has essence, although not existence.
Yes. Yeah.
But so now some say it only exists when it exists. And until then, it didn't exist. That's the other,
the other
shita. The mutalkim. Okay? So the mukaltim could not understand that God is the cause of something that doesn't exist if God is always active but not in potential. And that's the other difference. Is God an active God or a potential God? Is God an active creator or a potential creator?
Ah.
Right? Yeah. Now, what are we going to say? What can we say? What can't we say? We can't say he's a potential creator.
Because we say every moment is being.
It can't be a potential creator.
He's active.
He has to be active.
Has to be.
Okay, so if he's active, so then where is the thing that's been created? That's we have to come to the essence. That's we have to come to the essence versus the existence of the thing.
Essence was always there, but now it comes into existence.
Okay, these are some of the issues that we're dealing with here. Yeah.
When we did this last time, you suggested that there could be there could have been a chain of events where there was no Rabbi Michalowicz in the world because
if we're not talking about God,
right. Right.
We're just talking in theory.
Right, right.
But when it's God...
No. I know, but I'm getting back to last time, because I meant to ask a lot.
Yes.
And then you said that... talking about Esther, if Esther hadn't done it, then somebody else would have filled her shoes.
A savior would have come. Right. There was, in essence, a savior, even before in existence.
But then we have the story, like, with Yehuda. And also later with Ruth, where we say it was so calibrated that God was forcing their actions because it had to be in a certain way.
Mashiach had to come.
Had to come through them. They were unique. We had to have a situation where Yehuda and his daughter-in-law.
And their essence existed before creation.
Right.
But it was just... But it's also the loss of free will, and they had to...
They had free will. That, again, we're coming back to that famous question.
Yeah.
They had the free will, but that
I
their
thought
choices,
we said with him, it was so, didn't we say it's so overwhelming
so
that
he
had
no
free will?
So he had no free will, but it was decided before he was created. He'd have no free will over here.
At that point.
That's a tough idea to wrap your head around. I agree. Now let's flip the page. And this is very important. Even if we don't get it into the text, but this is such important background, so when you get to it, you'll at least know what's going on over here.
Mm-hmm.
This is all from Aristotle, and the Rambam is going to agree to all of it, okay? And you also should know the Maral talks a little bit about this. Now, the Maral lived, I think it's the 1500s,
yes,
1600s. That's at the end of the Aristotelian era.
Yes.
So he still says certain words that are the same as Aristotle. The Maral always talks about Chomer and Tzura all the time.
Yeah,
Chomer and Tzura is so prevalent in his works. And guess what? Aristotle used it, but in different words. So we just took from the Wikipedia, and we just added in a few Hebrew words, which is not in Wikipedia,
mm-hmm.
but it tells you what Aristotle meant with his words is what the Rambam will mean in his words. That's the point that's important over here. So first look at the picture for a minute before we get to the words. Now, let's first identify the five pictures here because it's not so clear.
Wood.
The middle is a table.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it may not look like a table to you, but...
Where's the table?
It's a table, okay?
Yeah. Okay, got it.
Okay, so now here's the question, guys. What is the cause of the table? So we'll see there are four different causes, and that's what Aristotle holds. There are four kinds of answers to what or why is the table here. And they're dealing with a different plane of reality, but they're all true. So let's start with what we call the material cause.
Wood.
The material cause is wood. Would you not say it's material cause?
Mm-hmm.
Without wood, you would not have a table.
Well, a wooden table. You have.
Okay, let's go beneath that.
You would say that.
Then we have the formal cause or the design.
Yeah.
So the first one is going to be the Chomer, and the second one is the Tzura, meaning that applies to the craftsman who, in his mind, when he saw the material cause, he in his mind already thought of a functional table. Okay? So now, who came up with that design? The carpenter. Came, or maybe not a carpenter, the interior decorator came up with that idea. Okay. Now, here's an interesting point. Can the table in the middle exist if the material cause does not exist?
No.
It's got to have the wood.
It's impossible.
Okay, now, can the table exist if the formal cause no longer exists after the table has been created?
Yes.
Yes. That's a very important point to remember. Okay? Because
it's a prerequisite, but it's not required for continued existence.
That's right. So that's an important idea to remember. Let's now talk about the efficient cause. The efficient cause is the carpentry, which is, we could call, the instrument, the tools that make the table. Or if you want to go further, it could be the carpenter in his hands, to which the tools are in his hands. Or we can call that the proximate cause. Okay? They're all causes, aren't they? If you said, how did this table get here?
Yeah.
Well, all three answers are correct. As a matter of fact, you can't have any... They're all correct, right. And they must all exist.
You need the wood, you need a design, you need a carpenter.
And now we come to a fourth one, is the final cause.
You're eating. Which means the table.
Yeah, why does the table exist? What's the ultimate objective? And now we get to the deeper question, why does anything exist? So we'll talk, so you know the child that says, that asks you, what's this? Is it this? Is it why? Because is that, but why?
The never ending why.
So the never ending why is really coming to understand the final cause, or it could even be the initial design that Jerome will talk about.
That was my question. Because where's the need? The need is the dining. If we don't
have the final cause is the need. The final cause is why did they make the table?
Right. But why not initial?
No. Because the initial is what's creating that which creates.
But if I'm thinking,
in other words, I'm looking at the wood. Where did the wood come from? A tree.
But if I
where did the tree come from? Came from a seed. Where did the seed come from?
Another tree.
Came from another tree. Where did the first tree come from?
Hashem.
Came from God. Okay? So that's...
But if I walk into a dining room and it's bare, I think, I have nowhere to eat. I have the inspiration.
Eat on the floor.
I have the inspiration.
Eat on the floor.
But you wouldn't design something
unless you knew what the need is. So now the need, the point is, so I'm going to eat on a table. Is that the end of the needs? Why do you need to eat on a table?
Oh.
There has to be an answer to that.
Why do you need to eat on a table?
Our Rambam will use this and announce you with a king's throne.
Wow.
Okay. Why do you need to eat on the table? There's got to be an answer to that.
Oh, yeah.
Why do you eat at a table, Shelly? Why don't you eat on the floor?
Eat like a mensch. Mean like a mensch.
Why do you have to eat like a mensch?
Because you're a human being. You're God's
image. You're supposed to be godlike.
Well, you need a table because it's your
mistake. What will a goy answer?
Yeah, we're going to say that one too.
It's more comfortable.
Yeah. It's more comfortable. Now eat on a bed.
Japanese.
I'm just saying, you're going to have to continue the whys. That's all I'm saying. You have to continue the whys for that. Or you can just say it's a communist, it's a what do you call it? A capitalistic plot for them to make money.
Exactly.
You know what? You don't need it. They've convinced you that you need it.
There are some things.
Okay,
like,
and now they're doing it so they can make money. Right? Or we could say we need a table, your digestion goes better. I don't know, doctor, is that true?
Well,
do you eat better? Do you digest better if you eat while you're walking?
No.
How about if you're lying on the floor?
That doesn't work.
Oh, so now we've come to the conclusion you eat on a table for good reasons, for digestive purposes, no? Isn't that good for digestion?
It helps. Well, a lot of people are much more comfortable eating at a table than they are, let's say, sitting on the floor and eating, or standing and eating like they would Kiddush, or lying down.
Not a waste man.
So why would... Why
you become comfortable eating other ways, too. You can be sitting on your bed.
So let's just say you digest better. Let's just,
I think it's a much better situation to eat, and the body works better.
Okay, so my body works better. So now the question is, why do I need my body to work better?
Because then it's more efficient to eat.
So why do I need my body to be more efficient?
Because you want to live longer.
Why do I want to live longer?
Because I want to serve Hashem.
Okay, so you see, it just keeps on going. So really, we get to the final cause. Let's say the final cause is so you could serve Hashem better. So that becomes the final cause. Now we go to the initial material cause is the opposite. It's where are we going to find this stuff? Where did the wood come from?
Right.
You begin to see what's happening over here?
The
material cause is Hashem. The final cause is Hashem. The formal design is Hashem. And the efficient cause is also Hashem, as we'll have to see. He gets all four of these. Other ones, the scientists or the philosophers or the mutalkim had problems with all four of these. And that's where we're going to get into issues over here. Yeah?
It's not uncommon with theoretical physics and mathematics and even computer science where they don't know where they're going. They just have some theoretical issue that they want to solve. And sometimes it's just a theory, and sometimes it'll lead them to an invention, and they don't know at the outset where it's going to lead them.
So can you give me a simple example for a dummy like me?
Tomorrow I can bring you,
So what's the main thing? They're just doing things, they don't know what's going to happen?
Yes.
Guess what?
Exactly.
God doesn't do that. Or what was Einstein's famous line?
But I'm saying, I don't see how...
You don't play cards with the universe or something. You don't roll dice with the universe.
No, he was very much involved with theoretical things. He didn't know where... I think that's not... He would definitely...
Or maybe the other guy said it to him.
No, he said it.
Okay. I'm just saying. But that is... Hashem cannot work that way.
Okay.
Right?
No, I'm just saying...
You could work. I could work
saying,
that way.
I don't see the parallel between that and this. They don't know where it's going to lead them.
But when they get to the final thing, there's always going to be a table at the end.
Sometimes there will, sometimes there won't. Sometimes they're just trying to work on a math problem.
Why?
Because that's what they do. That's what theoretical physics is.
So the hell with it. What are you doing it for?
What purpose is it?
There must be a purpose for it.
What purpose does it serve?
Sometimes they're looking for something else, and then by accident,
like sometimes it's completely theory.
That's how they found Viagra.
So, but what's the theory for? Why did they pick that theory and not another theory?
We'll bring it up as... Okay,
I don't know. That's beyond my pay scale here. I'm struggling with the...
By the way, that is what led to the atomic bomb, in that they didn't... They had no idea initially that that's where the research would lead them. Mm. They were doing... The original research was theoretical. They weren't trying to...
But when you're dealing with God, I don't think we play games like that. God kind of knows what he wants.
Yeah,
kind
of. Right. Okay.
The rabbis often said about how the knees were created so we could bend.
Right. Okay, so now we could read the paragraphs, and now they're going to make a lot more sense.
Okay,
the four causes. One is matter, the material cause of a change or a movement. In Hebrew, we call this chomer. The aspect of the change or movement that is determined by the material that composes the moving or changing of things. For a table, this might be wood. For a statue, it might be bronze or marble. Okay, that's the chomer, the matter. The form is the formal cause of a change or movement. Tsura, a change or movement caused by the arrangement, shape, or appearance of the thing changing or moving. Aristotle says, for example, that the ratio 2:1 and number in general is the formal cause of the octave or intervals of music. That's beyond me. I don't understand that. But we understand the general idea. Agent is the efficient or moving cause of a change or movement. We call that the poel. Consists of things apart from the thing being changed or moved, which interact so as to be an agency of the change or movement. For example, the efficient cause of a table is a carpenter or a person working as one. And according to Aristotle, the efficient cause of a boy is a father. Could be the mother too. Okay. Now, what do you have there? You've got matter and form. You've got the sperm and the egg. Okay. And then you've got, that could be the tsura that now shapes the chomer. Which right. The baby is the chomer, right?
Yeah.
Right? So you got the material cause, which is also the sperm and the egg. And then God putting formal design in the DNA. The DNA, I think, would be the formal design, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm.
That's the tsura, right? And then you have the kid. The final cause of the kid is to take care of his parents when they get old, right? Or just to I'm joking. To continue the world, okay? Who's the efficient cause of the baby? The carpenter is Hashem. Right, so that's all examples. Okay, the last thing was the end or purpose, the final cause of a change or movement, the tachlis, a change or movement for the sake of a thing to be what it is. For a seed, it might be an adult plant. For a sailboat, it might be sailing. For the ball at the top of a ramp, it might be coming to rest at the bottom. All right, so that's all examples of that. All right, so now, what time are we at over here? Okay, with that, let's just take a look at the Hebrew sheets. Let's just do the first paragraph.
Okay.
You should have, right? This is from Rav Toledano. Okay, it's three pages. So let's start with the first discussion. What we have to remember is there's three things. We got the philosophers, the Aristotelian philosophers. We got the Mutalkim, and you got the Rambam. Okay, the Mutalkim sounds the most like Yiddishkeit, but it's got a very significant problem. And that's what he's dealing with now. And then the philosophers, although really basically are very much the Rambam,
part two.
But there's one main fundamental problem, and that's going to be part two. Mm-hmm. So this paragraph discusses, is Elohim Siba or Poel?
Ah.
Okay, so what do you have? Siba, is he a cause? Or is he a Poel? Or is it the acting, moving cause, so to speak. Okay? So, is it the agent or is it the original cause for all that? So, machlokas gedola kayemes bin hadosos, there's a big machlokas between the religions or opinions, b'lein hados between the religionists, l'bein ha-philosophim, the philosophers, how do we say Hashem relates to the world? What do we call God in relation to the world? Let's say the middle of that picture is the world, not a table, the world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which one of these is God? So the philosopher said the relationship is automotios, the atomic relationship that exists that we explained yesterday, a bunch of little pieces. Elohim hu sibas ha'olam. God is the first cause. Elohim hu chok mechokei hateva. Hashem etched in the laws of nature. Hu achok ha'elyon rishon. Hashem is the first cause, the primal cause, the cause of everything. Hu hasiba harishona. Okay? So if you think about it, which one of the four is he an extension of in the picture? It's not any one of the four, but it's an extension of it. It's the formal cause design.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, okay, who made the table? The carpenter. Okay. Who made the carpenter?
Hashem.
Who gave the carpenter the brains?
Hashem.
So you could say the neurons. You could say that, right?
Neurons don't give them the brains. Neurons are just the cells.
Okay, the brains?
Well, it's more, it's neurobiochemistry.
The biochemistry, okay. Who made the biochemistry?
Hashem.
Oh, so that's...
Who made the idea? Where do ideas come from?
Okay, the ideas come from Hashem. So Hashem. And you could have a lot of things. We can take it back 10, 15 steps, right? 100%. So God is the first... Not call it God, necessarily, but there's a first cause.
A primal cause.
So that's the one they focus on. V'chol zman shasiba nimtzeis. Now, here's an important part. As long as the cause is there... Hamisobev nimtza, that which is the result exists. Aha.
It's just so, from our table.
Yes. So now what happens if the cause is finished? Mm. The table's finished. Now, what about the world? Im keno olam kadmon kamalakim. Therefore, the world is eternal.
Yeah, like Hashem.
Has to be eternal like Hashem because he's the cause. Right. He's the cause, right? That is the philosophers. Because if they were here, it must have always been here.
Right.
Now, because they do not believe in this idea of what we explain of this essence versus existence. They feel the existence can only be when it's a cause for it to exist. The Rambam's whole point was it exists in essence before it really exists. That's where the big change is over there. All right? But the regular philosophers, and there's a first cause. And that first cause obviously has to be around for everything else to exist. And if that stops, it doesn't exist. So if they're around, it must have always been here. Hadassos, the religionist Meidach, Gersos Shiachos Elkin Olam Hu Yachos Ritzoni. It's a relationship of desire. Elokim Poel Meritzono Ba'olam. Hashem did things because of his desire. They call him the Poel, which will be the efficient cause, the carpentry. Okay, the Metalkim hold that he's the efficient cause. He just decides right now. It's happening right now. They did not like that first cause, Legabi Habore, Vikino Sopol. Therefore, they called him the efficient cause, and that means that the world did not have to exist when the first cause existed. That's the difference. He says the Mutalkim didn't help anything. If the creation wasn't always there, if that means before it came, then what do we have? We got a bigger problem. Then God is only a potential power. Right? If he can do what he wants to do, that's a potential power, which we can't say that's true. We said before, Hashem is inactive, not a potential. Even if you're going to change and call him an active participant, the world would still have to be forever because you can't have something that God is not active. So now, the difference between these terms, Siba and Poel, is only a Havdel Samanti Bobad, only semantic. Wow. Okay. He really didn't help anything because he's an efficient cause, then he always had to be there anyway. So he didn't help anything. Okay, we'll stop it at that.
Wow.
To be continued. Let's go to work out your minds a little bit. We won't get...
this is very heavy.
Okay, but it's, you're working your mind. We won't get, what do you call that? Sickness of the head. We won't get dementia.
Yeah,
it's anti-dementia.
Thank you. No, it's good.